News Talk ZB and the New Zealand Herald present Cooking the Books with Frances Cook, demystifying your finances.
Hi, I'm Frances Cook. Welcome to the show. Kiwis have shown over and over again that they're fans of ethical investing. Take the scandal over KiwiSaver funds accidentally investing into tobacco companies and businesses that produced cluster bombs. While some might have seen this as the price of a good return, most New Zealanders were outraged and demanded a change. Plucky upstart Sharesies, that company that lets you invest in shares for as little as $5, has also found hot demand for ethical options. They opened for business in beta mode, actively looking for feedback from their customers. One of the biggest demands was for ethical funds. All of this is part of a sea change happening in New Zealand investing right now. While there once was a bit of lip service to ethical options, many in the industry have now overhauled their funds to get serious about the issue. Yes, it was partly triggered by the nightmare publicity of the KiwiSaver cluster bombs investing. But the outcome is still an interesting one. In the recently released New Zealand Investment and Operations Outlook survey, 64% of local fund managers said they wanted to be seen as doing the right thing on environmental, social, and governance issues. That's a huge leap from only 20% the year before, as in, before the KiwiSaver scandal. But what does ethical investing actually mean? And what's the downside?
Newstalk ZB presents Cooking the Books with Frances Cook, boosting your business confidence.
I'm joined now by Mark Lister, Head of Private Wealth Research for Craigs Investment Partners. So people often talk about wanting to jump into these ethical funds, which is great, no argument from me there. But the thing with ethics is, of course, that everyone has their own definition of what is ethical. What is the definition that the industry uses? And if someone was to say, here is an ethical fund you can invest in, what would that look like?
That is the real crux of this issue. And there are various definitions that the industry around the world uses, but what makes this area quite difficult to navigate and particularly difficult for investors to put together something that's specific to them is that everyone does have their own view of what's ethical, what's socially responsible. There are a few obvious things. You know, most people might say, well, investing in casinos, that probably is something we want to stay away from, or maybe things like military equipment and that sort of thing. But there are some real grey areas in terms of what people believe is ethical or socially responsible or environmentally friendly. So the real hard bit with this sort of whole space is that people have to get comfort around what's important to them and where they draw the line, and then they've got to put together their strategy accordingly. And that does make it very much a horses for courses sort of approach rather than a one-size-fits-all approach.
Yeah, and there was, it's interesting that you mentioned military, because there was this issue with the KiwiSaver funds not so long ago where some had accidentally invested in companies making cluster bombs. There was also some invested in tobacco companies. And that came about because they were investing in index funds, which usually I'm a huge fan of. But when you buy into something like, say, the top 500 companies in the US, you're going to have these sorts of things happen, right? So did that spate of bad news coverage over that cause changes in the industry? And what was that like?
Yeah, I think it did. Now, you've had, we have had socially responsible funds in the active management sense for many years now. You know, some of them have been around for a decade. But I guess what was interesting with our, that whole issue last year is that a lot of funds and a lot of investors will buy index funds. So maybe you buy the S&P 500 in the US. Now, that's just the top 500 companies. And a very, very tiny percentage of those will be involved in some of these areas that you don't really want to be involved in. So people own these things and they probably weren't even aware of it. So that change has all sort of gone through now, and you have got most of the providers that are offering a solution of some sort, you know, an index fund that excludes some of those companies that people don't want to be involved with. But even then, it sort of does start to get quite messy. You know, think of one of these companies that maybe builds the military aircraft. Now, you don't want to own that, but where do you draw the line? Are you happy to own shares in a technology company that provides the software for that aircraft? Are you happy to own shares in a company that makes tyres or other components and sells it to that aircraft? You know, it is really a case of sort of where do you stop, because everything's interlinked, obviously, and it is difficult to completely distance yourself from anything that is perceived as not environmentally friendly or not ethical.
Yeah, what was it like seeing that mindset change in the industry and people struggling with where to draw that line?
Well, it was interesting to watch. I guess for us and our clients, all of our portfolios are built a little bit differently. Like, we tailor everything to the individual clients. So for us, we're going through that process anyway, getting the client to sort of understand what they want to exclude and include and where their own sort of personal values lie, and then building a portfolio to suit them specifically. So for us, it's always been a little bit easier. I guess it's harder for some of the providers that have a one-size-fits-all solution. Like, here's an index fund and that's that. You get everything whether you like it or not. So they've had a little bit of a tougher time trying to find a solution that sort of gives them a bit of a workaround. But look, I think the big picture is that it's a good thing that people are much more engaged with these issues. We're certainly seeing much more interest in the space. People are taking a much more specific level of interest in what they own and why they own it, and particularly younger people. So it's great to see people just being more engaged across the board and wanting to make sure they're owning companies and they're investing in companies that fit with their individual sort of ethics and so forth.
And apart from this issue of where you draw the line for ethical funds, I mean, is there any other downside to the ethical side of investing? And what about when it comes to getting the money? Are you going to get as good a return?
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. If you sort of think, you know, say you've got a universe of 1,000 companies, if you're going to say, well, I don't want any that are involved in anything that promotes, you know, climate change or urbanisation or anything like that, we want to focus on ones that are doing the right things, you immediately are going to exclude a range of them. And depending on how specific you want to get, you know, maybe your universe of 1,000 falls to a universe of, you know, 200, just for argument's sake. So I guess on the face of it, if you're going to limit yourself in terms of what you can invest in, theoretically, that will make it harder for you because you've got less choice. And some of those companies you're excluded might be very profitable and they might be the ones that are going to do well. So that's one side of it. On the other hand, a lot of the data and the research has shown that companies that are doing the right thing, that are acting responsibly and sustainably, are better long-term performers, and they should stand the test of time, shouldn't they? Because they've got businesses that are more sustainable. So I think it's just about understanding that you might have had to give up a little bit of potential return in the short term, but hopefully over the long term, those sorts of companies are the ones that will stand the test of time.
So it could almost be whittling down to some of the more premium companies to put out a rule that is always going to be problematic anyway.
Yeah, well, whenever you're making sort of judgment calls in investing, you're going to have to make some compromises. And I think it's more a case of people just being comfortable with the decisions that they've made. You know, some of these tobacco companies, for example, they might do well over the next few years. So if you're going to exclude those, then you're going to miss out on that. But over the long term, and if you're a KiwiSaver investor, you know, you should be thinking over 10 years, 20 years, 30, 40 years, are those businesses the ones you want to support by giving them your capital? And are they the ones that you think will come through bigger and stronger on such a long time frame? Well, maybe not. So I think you shouldn't have to sort of give up returns for investing in line with your principles, but you've just got to acknowledge that at times you might.
That's really interesting. I think one of the things that gets people, particularly people who are newly interested in investing, you know, they might have a bit of an idea of where they want to start. You know, maybe they do want to jump into index funds because they know that's how to get some good diversity. And then they hear a conversation like this and they think, oh, I don't know what's going to be in there and I don't know how to check. What are things people can check? What are some red flags? You know, where do you start?
Yeah, well, easier said than done, I guess, because you do have to spend a lot of time trawling through annual reports and looking at whether these businesses do have a sustainability policy and whether they're actually doing all the things that you'd want them to do. You know, what's their policy on board of directors diversity? You know, what's their policy on ethics, on executive compensation, all of those sorts of issues. So there's a huge amount of work to be done, and it is really time consuming, even for professionals like ourselves. We have to spend a lot of time going through all of this. There are indexes around the world that the big providers like, you know, MSCI and FTSE and Dow Jones put together sustainability indexes. So they do a lot of that work, and they basically only include the companies that stack up in those indices. Plus, you've got some of the ETF providers, you know, the likes of, you know, BlackRock and other companies that have the iShares product. So there's a lot of information out there, and a lot of big companies have done the work for you, but still, you still have got an element of a one-size-fits-all solution that isn't going to suit everybody. So if you want to get really specific about lining up your investments with your own principles, you can't get away from the fact that you're going to have to take a few judgment calls and do some of your own work. And that might mean, you know, looking through some of these sort of companies on an individual basis, maybe working with an advisor of some sort or a share broker, and deciding which ones sort of stack up. And it is a large area, and there's a lot of ground to cover. And a lot of these companies are still finding their way as well. It's new territory for some. So some of the bigger ones are at the forefront of things than maybe some of the smaller ones.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying there is so spot on, because it's so hard to find a perfect solution. Like you say, one size fits all when it comes to ethics. Oh, that's always going to be tricky. But what do you think, as there's more demand for these sorts of services and people do seem to be taking them up quite enthusiastically, do you think there's going to continue to be growth in this area, particularly in New Zealand?
Oh, absolutely. I can just see it in my everyday life, in our everyday business. You know, there's more and more questions about this from clients and investors. So people are really interested. And I think that will just continue, particularly as you have the young generation who's much more engaged with these sorts of environmental and ethical issues coming through. The easy way to do it is just to buy one of those index funds that's got the ethical slant and be done with it. Then you can feel pretty good that you've sort of got yourself 80% of the way there. Mm-hmm. If you want to take it one step further, then you really are going to have to take a bit of responsibility yourself and start looking at these individual companies on a specific individual basis and make your own judgments about whether they stack up for you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. That's Mark Lister from Craigs Investment Partners. And I know a lot of people are very interested in this topic, so you're welcome to come and talk to me about it if you have questions, or if there's something in this which wasn't explored enough and you want me to look into it for a whole episode on its own in the future. Do come and talk to me on Twitter at Frances Cook and Facebook at Frances Cook Journalist. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. I'm on iTunes and iHeartRadio. And until next time, have a great day.
And that's Frances cooking up your business confidence for another week on News Talk ZB.